My name is wretchedness, and my deed is infamy. Slosh with thy juices, natural and weighty. The story must be told.
The story must be told.
Ha! Our yoke is punctured by the nails of thy nurse, whose name we forget. Oh, may we always remember to love the Father, scorn the one who has betrayed us, and get a little greasy with all them childrens. We now enjoy a psalm thy Lord story has produced.
Nature, it calls me, and so I run to her, nude and brimming with my body's slippery waters. In a ditch, I am at home with the weeds and the fungi, the insects and the worms, and the bits dogs have buried of corpses washed out of the graveyard by the storm. Command me, nature, love me, animals, and when the drought does come, feast upon me, for I drip sustenance and fester with flavor. The dogs return, and hungry they nibble, a bit of tongue for Rover, a sliver of thigh for Roscoe, a toe for Tugger, and a genital for Cupper. When will nature reclaim these bones? When will she return me to the dirt I love so? Check back in 2 weeks and see what now the dogs have buried.
Sister Callista, thank you again for your beautiful wordings, your humble phrasings. You always bring us a smirk or two here in the parish. And for that, I say, leave! Get out! You disgust me! Now that we are free of such grace, we can recall the words we always say. The story must be told.
A reading titled The Mother of Nature from the Gentle Book of Red Rub Ropes.
Within her womb stopped. Chastity kept the secret from her husband for 2 weeks. She imagined the child within her taking a long nap and entertained the fantasy until it spilled from her red and painful. And Abraham heard her cries and the child's silence.
"You hath lied to thee," he declared then. "The devil hath married thee. I know it to be true."
Abraham's strong voice was too powerful to argue against. Chastity even believed it herself. Somewhere along the months on the ship, bucking nauseous in the Atlantic and the cold squalor of the New World, she had welcomed the devil into her heart. She wished she knew when. She would have paid more attention, remembered what she got out of the deal. So far, it had only provided ruin. The elder Whitebeards gathered before the town altar to weigh Chastity's soul like St. Peter. They found it lacking.
"And thou did not tell of the stillness to thy husband?"
"Nay," Chastity whimpered.
"Now, girl,"
another man said with a wipe of mustache,
"of what benefit was the lie?"
She had the capacity for speech. She would have said fullness. Before the child slipped from her, she lay beside Abraham that cold March night. She could believe it was still alive. Believe it would never leave her. Believe she would never be alone. She thought, however blasphemous it was, that her will and word could command nature, bend it around her. But she did not speak, and her silence damned her. Abraham was granted an annulment, so he may seek out a healthier ute in which to sire an heir and laborers for his plots. Children chastity denied him in her wretchedness. She, on the other hand, was granted exile, as good as an execution, without the discomfort of hanging a woman and digging a grave in the cold shards of dirt. With but a loaf of bread for nourishment, she was carried to the town gate. Such was her stubbornness. The imbecile twins took her, one for the arms, another for the legs. Their brows met in the crease lining their foreheads, and their teeth pathetic gray tombstones and vast empty mouths. The whole way she sniffled and pled for clemency, but the twins were too witless to bequeath anything besides prophecy.
Lazy girl gone rat! Gonna die real squishy!
As the gate approached, that threshold between grimy civilization and the fearful bowels of nature, the panic set in, and her limbs writhed against her captors so that they hooted and hawed.
Poor little thing to die so young!
Like a basket of snakes!
She fell harsh onto the dirt beyond the gate, horror-struck, as the twins latched the wooden bars behind her. She slept by the enclosure for 2 nights, and her bread was stolen by rats while she slept. She was 15 years old. The insects were the first to gather around Chastity. As she slept, earwigs crawled into her hair. The pill bugs formed ball bearings under her elbow and chin, and the ants burrowed between her thighs. She mourned too much to bother. She could appreciate, if nothing else, their company. On her third day, Chastity no longer wished to stay close to the village, the despair having fermented into scorn. Soldiers threw rocks at her from the catwalks, and her alms were unheeded. She had to find water. The barren child left the bugs crawling within her clothes and carried them with her in search of sustenance. The insect humming in her ears gave her direction. The scratching in the folds of her clothes gave her motion, and within 2 hours, as though delivered, she found a stream. She drank until her belly distended. She would need more as the diarrhea set in from waterborne parasites, which too had fondness for the slight girl. In the evening, hours past that terror as the cold sun hid behind shadows to die, Chastity was calm. Yes, there was fear, but it was by now familiar. It was kin to the fear the night before trial, which was sister to the fear when the child took its ill nap those weeks ago. Sleep found her. She was hungry and dreamt the visions a hollow belly churns. She sat trial, chained and sinking into the floor's hungry mouth. She saw Abraham, wrinkled with the 24 years between them. He spoke of her.
Bride of Satan! Filthy teen of sin!
She saw then the parson, a wart-palmed shepherd who abhorred his flock. He spat upon her.
Gross, damnable creature, I damn thee to rot and terrors.
It was then her mother's body appeared, but the face contorted from her vision. Where her eyes followed, it fluttered, squawked, and scratched, fighting to go unobserved. Mother approached and Chastity hugged mother's legs, sobbed her face into mother's ute.
Grant thee mercy, mother, please, mercy.
When she looked to the woman's visage, the head was swollen and wrought. It was then, within the dream, she recalled her mother's death some 10 years ago. The head erupted,
And birds within clawed from the spewing orifice and attacked Chastity with beaks and yellow gaping maws. She awoke to real-life birds in their open mouths, and they gagged at her. She was too weak to object, even to close her mouth, which, like their young, teemed with red. The flock of them vomited. Chastity received their kindness and swallowed. 5 days they fed her until her strength returned, prospered by the worms and crunching beetles. Chastity was adopted by the wilderness with each hearty swallow, house of insects, child of birds. A year passed, and Chastity endured a winter, was reborn in the spring, and gorged in a writhing wet summer. Her skin was tan and glowing, her hair reddened, and her teeth healthy with the cleansing scrape of thousands of exoskeletons. The birds had not just a child, but a glutton, devourer of all things which crunch and mush. Chastity did not need the village, but she yearned for proper touch. She enjoyed the fleeting moments when the starlings and crows fed her and claws caught her cheeks, beaks nipped her lips as though they were her husband. Yet these were kinder than any of his kisses, all 7 he had ever given her. The last, when the judge declared her exile, after a grinning, "Fare thee well." The weak touch of the bugs and birds was not enough for the child. So she sought it from the larger animals of the forest. There were deer, coyotes, large cats and small cats, foxes and rabbits, small as well, and as evidenced by steaming bowel movements, bears. Chastity imagined the strong arms of a bear about her and the comfort she might cherish before its teeth ripped her throat into ribbons. She was fearless. The barren child, now a year older, spent mornings in silence crouched upon a rock. The birds hung about her shoulders, dotting her rags with white spurts from loving cloacas, so she shone resplendent in the April sun. She was a beacon, and as her wish, she drew the curiosity of all creatures. She stated her intentions there on the rock like this: "I plead for the comfort of creatures big enough to comfort. I plead for the touch of creatures strong enough to touch." The fox was the first to approach. He bit her hand with yellow incisors, which broke her pinky, but beyond the pain, felt like her husband's hand, warm and tight about her own. She hated the man, but hungered for his warmth. The fox grew gentle after the attack and licked at where the blood blossomed. He was tamed by her calm. Her bone healed slanted, giving her graceful hands heretic bends. Half a year later, the exiled child was a sprite of the forest, and the animals loved her all that the village would not. The deer woke her in the morning with licks at her cheeks and slime over her lips. The fox brought her meat from sacrificed birds of her flock. The bear followed her at dusk, and they shared a meal of cold fish and leaking berries. The animals loved her, and she loved them, and years passed in their simplicity. The first human to see Chastity again after her exile was a snotty child. Just 4 years old, she had run free of her mother. She loved nature and the crisp sounds the spring breeze stirred through the forest. She kicked the heads off mushrooms in their fairy circles and laughed and screamed. The feigned terror of the girl was terror true to Chastity, having heard no such human sounds for a decade. She was lured to the child with noble maternal fear. The 10 years in the forest changed Chastity. More bones were broken by the bashful love of the creatures. Her legs crooked between the ankle and knee, and her fingers were like crippled weather vanes. When she came upon the child, she spoke in what she remembered as a honey tenor, but emerged as a froggish belch. "Where is your mother?" Chastity cried.
Sweet child, are you lost?
Chastity was surrounded by her flock of birds, crawling with her colony of insects, attended by the greater creatures. The child saw a witch of nudity and filth, a bride of the devil and a conjurer of shadows. She screamed, and when she fell into the dirt at the gate, screaming for her mother, she told the aged imbecile twins,
a witch in the forest, she cursed thee.
The child's claims were considered fantasy until the bugs found her. An extension of Chastity's concern, the clicking masses of bugs followed the child, swelled the gaps of her shoes, and covered her in a writhing black blanket as she slept. Her horrified parents deemed it a curse. A week later, a huntsman discovered Chastity as he scoured the woods for turkey. His rifle was packed and ready to fire at a thick-bosomed bird when the witch emerged from a hollow of earth and muck. Her hair was matted with feces and her eyes glowing coals of devil's flame. She spoke a hello, but in her decrepitness only rasped,
"Help!
Witch!" The huntsman howled at the sight of her. He shot his lead ball at the woman. Given the way of these weapons, it missed, but the man attributed his inaccuracy to the devil's pact with the woman. The fox and the deer chased the man from Chastity, fearing for her safety. He saw only the devil's command of foul nature. In the village, the council gathered again to discuss Chastity, though this time they named her only Witch. Only Abraham, now a father of 6 children, 3 of which were still alive, thought of his former wife. He dismissed her memory with ease. His new wife was even younger, a ute strong enough to crush walnuts and sire a king. The council spent little time deciding a course of action. The man at the center of the table stroked his white mustache and asked for volunteers. Several men and one boy raised hands. They were outfitted with torches and rifles and sent to the woods to rob Chastity of her life in the gloom of night. The townspeople sang songs as they departed, blessing their voyage with dirge like this. Hunt thy bride, pierce her skin, turn her to the Lord again. Smear her blood, the Lord will win, bride of devil, house of sin. In the morning, when the men and boy returned, they were braggarts. The swollen baker said, "We were blind, could barely see a thing. Then we hear all these insects like a damn old band just playing it up. Fiddles, jug blowing, screeches, loud bugs these was. So we followed." Then the parson spoke.
"She was there, sleeping in a grave, wretched like a worm. She wore a coat of centipedes and slept on a pallet of furry bodies. The animals love the devil and adore his bride. And afore she woke, we saw their eyes light with a devil flame."
The boy said his part then.
"We shot her until she did."
The boy was truthful. For that morning, as the men praised themselves for their boldness, the animals mourned. If in life Chastity was loved by the animals, in death, she was a goddess. They kissed her bullet holes with wet noses and purred softly into her lifeless eyes. Why would she not wake? As all children crave at a mother's taking, their hearts sought the satisfaction blood brings. From deep within the forest, a stirring cacophony of clicks and screams and flapping wings butchered the silence and crept in deafening pilgrimage to the village. Abraham was sharpening his Bible wit when the insects came to the gate.
"I'm pure," he said of himself. "The Lord hath blessed thee with children, each from a ute of virtue true. My seed writhes with power and my loins stir with bubbly froth."
Then with a stray eye from his book, he cast a glance to the window. It was dark as night, though his worn bride, Printificia, had yet to begin fermenting the foul curds of their supper.
"What curious dark,"
he declared.
"And how noisy,"
he cursed. It sounded as though rain on the roof, Yet there was no rain, and the sun, it shone. The clicking darkness was bugs, dying as they berated the town with their deaths. The imbecile twins at the gate fled from the devilry but could not keep their lolling mouths closed. They choked swallows of bugs until their esophagi could take no more, and their corpses rattled with thousands of hungry lives. It sounded like this. The birds came next for the town, and they made quick work of what the insects began. Windows burst and families screamed. Patriarchs cowering behind their children. The elders left in their beds lost their faces and palms gooily to the pecking flock. Abraham kept his curtains open long enough to see the parson in the street. Frock, attacked by such a dense cloud, his flinching body levitated, was enveloped and fell piecemeal to the dirt. "A pestilence!" he swore. "A pestilence upon us!" Alarmed, Abraham retreated to his inner study. He locked the doors around him, each quaking from the other side with wildlife. He had not thought of chastity in years, but he thought of her now because he thought of the devil. As he locked the final door to the stairwell, tiny hands began to pound from the opposite side. His son Brindle cried then, "Father, please aid us!" Then his daughter, Giuseppia, "Papa, Papa, please, please, they're here!" And the babe, Brandon, its screech. Young Printificia pled much the same.
"Dear husband true, open thy door, please. The ungulates have come for us, hoofless."
Yet Abraham cursed her. "You are but a bride of virtue, false as my last. The devil has married you, and you he. Begone! Begone!" Their cries only then rose in pitch, and their bangs on the door were lost amid the thunder of the animals turned usurpers. God, no! No, no, no! Legs were broken upon the door as the stampede frenzied. Finally, the wood broke into the claws of the bear, and the howls of the coyotes filled the room. The bear aided the other animals by pinning Abraham to the study floor, piercing the meat below his shoulder blades like an entomologist's pin. The fox had a go at his fingers and reduced his ability to count from double digits to worthless nubs, snapping the bones from the marrow within. "Ah!" Abraham bellowed, and
"Yeah, yeah, yeah!"
and
"No, no, no, please, no, no, no!"
Finally, the deer arrived. With their ungulate, flat, vegetarian teeth, they set upon Abraham's face, and he resisted feebly as their pinching teeth ripped at his skin. He cried, and one tuft of sinew at a time, the herbivores ripped him from life. In minutes, his skull was bare, but not quiet. With his dying breath, he cupped his torn shreds of face with hands that were but empty palms and shouted but one word. The word he shouted was this:
"Chastity!"
The story must be told.
May we remember the ladies we have cast aside. May we understand the animals we love. Interpret their barks, their mews, their scritchy scratches. Yes, I had a pet, and I remember communicating with it for hours a day. I would ask my little horse, it was. I named it, of course, Reacher Jack. Reacher Jack, I would say, what should I do with my life? And the horse would whinny, and it would neigh, and it would speak blaspheme. Oh, that horse. That horse. Of course, I buried that horse while I was still alive. For that is the punishment for blaspheme against our story? Join me today after the service, and we will visit the horse's grave. Reacher Jack is buried at the top of the hill, and if you bend yon ear to the soil, you can still hear its whinnying blasphemes.
This was The Story Must Be Told, and I have a revolver with 5 empty chambers and 1 full chamber. I'm gonna put it in my mouth now. Oh, you lucked out. And we did too, because we're proud to be hosted on the Last Podcast Network. Check us out at lastpodcastnetwork.com. Rounds 2. Saved again. So follow us on Twitter and Instagram at TSMBTPod. Rate and review us on iTunes and SoundCloud.
Here we go again.
This has been a Post Everything production. Oh. Go to PostEverythingProductions.com. We have short films on there. And we'll be back next week.
Oh. The diarrhea parasites one.
Yeah.
Understandable.
All of nature loves her.
The story must be told.